This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And trying to dump it from the budget, but there's a big change thanks to the president. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, and that's where we kick off this show. Betsy DeVos, the education secretary, was proposing that $17.6 million be cut for the Special Olympics. The reaction was swift. Everybody pouncing on her, including Senator Dick Durbin, who said it was shameful and disgusting and it was a political ploy. He wasn't the only one who responded with that kind of vitriol. There was no way Congress would have rubber stamped it, but the president said, listen, we're funding it. He said on Thursday before he jumped on a plane for a rally in Michigan that the brakes have been put on this, and he said it will stay. He didn't offer any additional information about what was going to happen, but he just said he was not going. He was jettisoning basically the proposal to slash the funding for it. He said the Special Olympics is going to be funded. He said, I just told my people I want to fund these Special Olympics, and I've overridden my people. We're funding the Special Olympics. So how that all breaks out, but the bottom line is we're talking about $17.6 million, and the thing was, it was part of what was included in the $4.75 trillion federal budget that they sent to Congress earlier in the month. So that's how it was red flagged and started to be part of the conversation that was going to be cut. So the bottom line is, for people who participate in Special Olympics, who have children that have benefited from Special Olympics, there is no worry of that being cut. And I think there just wasn't a lot of thought that went into it. DeVos, when she was talking about it, and remember, she's a very wealthy person, a wealthy Republican donor, and she, when she was trying to defend the proposed cut, what she thought, or what she said, is she said, look, I've given a portion of my salary to Special Olympics. She was tying it to the narrative that there would be plenty of people that would fund it. It would be a philanthropic thing. But the problem is relying on that philanthropic generosity to pour through. And people that are familiar with Special Olympics or any of these programs know that that's a roll of the dice. Do I think if it had completely been slashed and then the outrage happened, would it have been funded? You bet. Because people were furious, I mean, absolutely furious over that happening. All right, that's not the only thing that's being tossed around that we're going to talk about in this show. On the lighter side, the winning lottery ticket, I have to say it because I always talk about this show being at a crossroads of what's happening in your backyard and mine. The winning lottery ticket, you ready for this? Wisconsin. So somebody from New Berlin, Wisconsin, won the third largest lottery prize in U.S. history. Wow. That is lucky. 16, 20, 37, 42, 62, and 12, the best numbers of their life. 708.4 million. If you took the lump sum payout, which presumably, of course, most people do, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. What could you do with that money? You could certainly live off the interest. We know that. Any debts that you could have possibly accrued, boom, would be probably just overnight evaporate. And people went crazy for this. Powerball's played in 44 states. And, you know, there were people the people who don't play, that they can't play because it's not in their state, they usually just travel over the border and they do it that way because they want to play, because there's lottery fever, and you can see why. I mean, we know that it's the crazy chance of winning. It's insane. But if you're only plunking down a couple of dollars and you're not being ridiculous about it, why not? We get into the conversation, right? All right, speaking of money, Jesse Smollett, you know that name now? He's the actor that set Chicago on its head. From Empire was the name of the show on Fox, and everything was dumped against him, and his $10,000 bond was going to be what the city was going to get from him. Now Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, and the police superintendent are both saying Oh, no, we paid overtime money. We paid $130,000 for what amounts to a hoax, is what they're saying, and that they're going to bill him for it and send it to his agents, etc. So, you know, this goes back to this. I mean, it's crazy. This goes back to what happened when the story first unfolded, and the idea that you had these two guys who went after him, and then when they were pinched and they were going to realize they were going to have charges against him, they said that he paid them, and they had checks for their evidence and a trail, but something happened that changed. And what that something happened, we don't know for sure. We just know that the prosecutors in Chicago stunned a lot of people by announcing they were dropping the disorderly conduct charges against him for filing a false police report. And that decision is just 3 weeks on the heels of him being indicted on charges he paid two guys, like I said, that he knew, that we found out he knew, to stage a hoax attack that made him look like the victim of a racist hate crime. And his legal team objected to comments to the media made by the Cook County State's Attorney's, you know, office, saying prosecutors and the police are continuing their campaign against the actor. Donald Trump got into this. He said the FBI and the Department of Justice need to review the outrageous Jussie Smollett case in Chicago. It's an embarrassment to our nation. And Rahm Emanuel is saying even thanks, but no thanks. We don't need the president to get in the middle of this. He said he wants clarity. He wants accountability. He wants responsibility for a hoax that was committed, and that's why the police are assembling the cost of what was put into it, because of the overtime that was spent on this and the police officers tracking it down. And they're already saying that it's over or around $130,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. So that's a pretty big chunk of change, if you will. And they want him to come up with it. When I say they, meaning the mayor and the police superintendent, are hoping that that's where that money will come from. All right, the 737 MAX, the jumbo jets. So many of you have reacted to that, sent me a ton of emails about what's happening there. And as I've said, you know that Southwest has the bulk of them. Not all of them, because it's spread around several different airlines. But so many of their jets were the 737 MAXs, and they were going to be, that you have to check your air tickets if you've got any kind of flight coming up for, I mentioned this the other day, Easter, Mother's Day, a graduation, a summer vacation, something you booked maybe when you got one of those fun fairs in, you know, months ago in the winter, early in the winter or whatever. Really check that, because if it is one of those jets, it's going to be re-racked, and then you're going to be scrambling to try to, you know, to find a seat someplace else. And it's interesting what's happening with the FAA. I was looking at some of the things that have been written. I was looking at a lot of things that have been written about this. And the fact that because of the grounding of the 737, what's going on with the FAA and the FAA's reputation, you know, you look at what the Transportation Department Inspector General said at a subcommittee hearing on Wednesday, saying, "I have confidence in the FAA as the gold standard for aviation safety has been shaken." No kidding. And so that brings up the question, as some people have done in op-ed pieces, how cozy is the FAA with the airlines and the manufacturers, and could that contribute to a tragedy? And we've seen it, and that is the concern. So on that note, we're flipping the page to the other side. We'll be there for odds and ends.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite
is nutrition.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
Dinovite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite for life.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Welcome to the segment I like to call Odds and Ends. All right, so in Odds and Ends, just a couple of quick sweeps back to Washington for a second to get you up to date on everything that's popping out of D.C. How about this? Adam Schiff should be booted is pretty much how the president feels. It's a war on the Twittersphere all over the place. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff is totally profound dishonest. That's what the president said, and said that the administration should inform House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that the executive branch will not work with the California Democrats committee until he steps down. I don't think that is going to happen, though. Schiff rejected a call on Thursday from committee Republicans for his resignation with a prepared statement where he had a laundry list of the actions of the president and said it was not okay. And he wants things, you know, investigated. And he's talking about Russia still and going back and looking at the ties. But I don't think that we're going to see that happen. Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican from California, is submitting criminal referrals to the Justice Department on the accusations that the DOJ and the FBI made false claims, though, while they investigated allegations of the President-Rush collusion into the election. They used counterintelligence capabilities, is what they're saying, normally reserved, frankly, for going after terrorists and bad guys. That's what Nunes is saying. He said they turned it into a political campaign. So we haven't seen the last of this. There's going to be a lot of mud being flung in the end. And who knows, you know, if this becomes anything that bubbles up with the election coming up in 2020, I think that's going to be more a referendum again on health care. But perhaps, because we know the wheels of justice anyways really grind very slowly. All right, I don't know about you, but for my money, it was opening day in Major League Baseball, and I'm pretty happy. And I'm pretty happy because unabashedly, one of the teams I root for, my childhood team, because I think it always goes back to that when you're a fan, usually you're a fan of the team that you grew up with. And I grew up with the Philadelphia Phillies. And the Philadelphia Phillies, sometimes nicknamed the Sillies, actually beat the Braves 10-4. Over the years, the Braves have certainly been the nemesis of the Philadelphia Phillies. And remember, they paid a lot of money for Bryce Harper, one of their star players now, and we'll see how that all pans out for them. It's just the first day of a very long season, my friends. Very long. Even the Mets, they won. They beat Washington 2-0. And it was that kind of day. A lot of people were at the ballparks for early, early times, tailgating, eating breakfast snacks and foods like the Yankees. The Yankees knocked off Baltimore. That would have been an interesting ballpark to be at. I've certainly been there before on opening day. In fact, I've been to a lot of these ballparks. And in the Man Cave, we'll be talking more about that as we get deeper into the season and hopefully catch up with some of the players and some of the people connected to, you know, baseball. I saw a great story, speaking of baseball, because you think of baseball, hot dogs, food, and I had that crazy segment the other day. I was talking about the kinds of things that people put on hot dogs. I was looking at a story about potato chips, and I was thinking that my family, I call them the Delaneys, my brother and sister-in-law, when I used to go over to spend time with my nephew, they would say, oh, you know, just make dinner, have whatever you want, and you'd open up their cabinets. I'm not kidding you guys. You open up their cabinet, and in their pantry, they had like 15 different kinds of potato chips. There are probably about 32 different bags of potato chips now. And that makes sense because you have regional potato chips, right? You've got all kinds of flavors. You have the baked. You've got barbecue. You have sour cream potato chips. All I know is, you know, the old commercial about you can never eat one. For me, that's deadly. I have to stay away from the potato chips. And I saw this thing that they did with Cape Cod and Lay's and Kettle and Fritos and all that stuff, and they did a taste test and brought different people in and they to write down what they liked and whatever. I mean, again, can you find people that will taste test potato chips? You know, I'm going to say the answer is yes. Would you taste test potato? Well, for the right money, right? Would you taste test whatever the potato chips were? Of course you would. It's one of our what do I call them? It's one of those foods where it's like, to me, the saddlebag foods. You can only eat a little bit of that stuff. I mean, it just is so bloody addicting. Kind of like when you get into the rhythm of watching baseball games. I mean, I get the push, and I've got it, to eat healthy food, you know, look at those green shakes. But watching a baseball game and drinking a green, healthy shake, and I know I'm going to get emails about this, does it really go hand in hand? That's all I'm saying. Does it feel right to you or not? I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Maybe you go to Costco, maybe you get discount points there, or maybe you go to a local grocery store where they've got gas and they offer it for however much you spend at their store. But we're starting to see that the prices for gasoline is up a little bit. The national average, $2.69 on Thursday. That's up 28 cents from a month ago, 9 cents from a week ago. That's according to AAA. So what does that mean? It means that we're seeing the flow of oil change. World markets are certainly a little bit rocky, and that's what will happen when you see that. And we're seeing the gas prices surge just in time for the holidays coming up at the end of May. And it's only a matter of time before that was going to happen. But the president even actually reacted to that. He said it's very important that OPEC increase the flow of that oil. World markets are fragile. Price of oil getting too high. Thank you. So this is something that we gauge by. I say this all the time, that do you remember when you pulled into a gas station and to fill up, and it was $4 or close to $4, and then people are talking about doing ride shares and how can you save gas money and doubling up. I know on the show I did that. Are people doubling up on errands or switching off on who's taking who to what baseball game or kids' events if they had a far way to go? And especially in the SUV culture that we live in, because it's already more to fill up the SUV anyway. Or is it kind of, you know, it's one of those things where, well, we've got to get gas, so
you know, are people really being that responsible and, you know, logging out where they're going? And I do think that's what happens. You feel the pinch when you get closer to the $4, and that's where you start to get the people complaining, and the conversation ratchets up about what are you going to do about gas, and are you finding an alternative way, that whole kind of thing. I talked about this before, but this is a great follow-up because, there's more meat to this, but the Roundup thing that happened. So a man was awarded $80 million in a lawsuit claiming Monsanto's Roundup causes cancer. So 8 days after a jury found that the weed killer was a substantial factor in that man's cancer, it did award the $80 million. It was a six-person jury in San Francisco, and the defendant was Edwin Hardman, 70, who said he used Roundup to treat poison oak overgrowth and weeds on his property for years and years and years. And, what Monsanto, the company, is saying is the verdict in the trial has no impact on future cases and trials, as each one has its own factual and legal circumstances. Stances in regard to that. And according to the International Agency, this is something for all of you out there, for research on cancer, a branch of the World Health Organization, the one of the elements in it is a pesticide and herbicide best known as an ingredient in Roundup, is, they say, is a probable human carcinogenic. And this glyphosate is supposedly the culprit in all of that. And both Monsanto and Bayer have said studies have established that the ingredient in its weed killer is safe. So it means that they move on to whatever the next case is, and they're going to go case by case. And it's interesting because the trial, is it going to be significant to these other lawsuits that, you know, there's two others? Is it going to be a bellwether kind of thing? And the fact is that they're not stepping away from what they're putting in it. In fact, the president of the Environmental Working Group, EWG, said in a statement, his name's Ken Cook, that the testimony that informed the jury's decision was Bayer Monsanto hiding Roundup's properties, and they were manipulating the science and cozying up with the EPA so they wouldn't have to warn consumers of its dangerous product. Here's the deal. Don't we know that now this just highlights the whole thing, that once again, you've got to watch what you're doing and take responsibility for, not that he wasn't, because you have that assumption, hey, look at it, it says it looks good, it's got approvals on it, but paying attention to what you're using, and you think about using those kind of products, and of course, don't I know, from weeds and things that are in the yard, you could use a lot of that stuff up. That is, that's for sure. All right, we're stepping aside. Coming up next, you're going to enjoy our next guest. Absolutely awesome. So stay with us.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Trump administration is doubling down on its threat to close the southern border with Mexico over immigration. There's no specifics or timelines, acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney.
Congress won't give us any money to fix it. They won't change the law to fix it, so we're going to do the best with what we have. And if that means pulling people off the ports of entry to put them out on the border where there's no wall, we will absolutely do that.
Mulvaney on CNN's State of the Union also defended the administration's decision to cut aid to three Central American countries. Josiah Hyman with the Center for Inter-American Border Studies at the University of Texas says the economic implications of a border shutdown are major.
The largest trade partner of Detroit is Mexico. Probably the largest trade partner of much of Canada is with Mexico. It would be a complete disaster.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground-floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Serious topic, and one that's close to my heart, as I had a friend who dealt with this in her life. And joining us now, she's in our virtual green room, is Lucinda Mills, and she's written a book called Let Yesterday Go, Finding Grace in the Midst of the Storm. And this is a book about how incest consumed every aspect of her life, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it is a powerful read and one that has an impact, I think, for anyone. And I think of older teenagers, adults, etc., and what so many people are grappling with and just in what they can come out on the other side with. Lucinda, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So for you, when did that abuse start?
Well, it started, the best I can remember, around age 7.
And
it wasn't until I was 18.
Wow. And did you tell anyone? How did you deal with that?
Well, what I had to do was, to me, it seemed very normal. Because when abuse starts at a young age, you don't know that it's not okay, because you think everything your parents do or does that it's the way it's supposed to be. but I didn't even learn that what was happening to me was called incest until I was in my 20s. And so when you look back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, finally in the 70s it began to come out that that's what this is called. And so it was really hard because I had to figure out how not to be mad at everybody and try to figure out why is this happening to me and what did I do that was so bad that made this happen to me. And I reached out to God and God didn't change anything. And so it made me very angry and it made me delusional. You know, I didn't want to believe in God anymore. And he was a joke as much as my father was. So it was very, very difficult to go through this, and it's so confusing. And I didn't tell anyone until I was 17 years old, and I told a boy that I was dating, and he said, well, I always knew I didn't like your father, I just didn't know why. And so anyway, that was the first person I ever said anything to.
Wow. So how do you, when you're dealing with that, and I talked about that, all the emotions, what it makes you feel like, what you didn't know, you meet somebody, you're only 17, and then you realize, oh, this isn't right. How do you get through that? How much therapy do you go through? How do you start to function and deal with that?
Well, I did fine dealing with it because when you're in a situation, you learn to cope with that situation. But it wasn't until after I got married and I had my second child that finally everything came to a head and I was just like hurting inside. I loved my parents because they were my parents, but I hated my parents because this was happening to me and this love-hate relationship. And then you go to church and you have this love-hate relationship with God. You love God because you're told you're supposed to love God, but then you hate God because God's allowing this to happen. And so it really messes you up. And so you just have to just learn that you know, this is the way it is. And so finally, I went to counseling after I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. And like I said, I'm in my 20s now. And so she was going to counseling. So I went to where she was going to counseling. And counseling helps a little bit because it's like it unfolds a little bit of the layers of the walls that you build around you. And then you start feeling better and you say, okay, I'm all better. Well, then you may go on for years and then it'll all, you'll get all messed up inside again and you go back to counseling. And I did this 4 times. And there, between the 3rd and the 4th time was 17 years. And so I did a total of 30 years worth of therapy. But it was different at different aspects. But over that time limit, it took me 30 years to get where I am today. And then when my husband went into the ministry, it's like, oh, no, I'm supposed to be around this God. I'm supposed to eat, breathe, and sleep this God, you know. And I don't even like the God that I had and grew up with, my Heavenly Father, because where was he? Why didn't he help me? And I didn't understand it.
Wow. How did you heal that relationship?
Well, when I was in counseling with my last counselor, or he was a psychologist, when I was with him, I started writing my book back in my early 20s because everything was so messed up inside of me. And so I would use writing as a therapy. And so that's how I made it through it. I was putting everything into perspective as to why God did and allowed what he did to me. Well, as time went on, when I finally got into counseling, my counselor said, I want you to keep writing, and I'm going to give you writing assignments. And so he had me write about my father. What would I say to my father? What would I say to my baby? Because when I was 15, I got pregnant by my father, and he beat me up, and I delivered my own baby in my aunt's bathroom at 3 months. And so there was just all these emotions that I couldn't get a hold of. And so by going to counseling, and I chose Christian counseling because sometimes secular people, they will say, you don't need to forgive because they didn't ask for forgiveness. But when I went to Christian counseling, they were showing me that if I expect God to forgive me when I do things wrong, I have to forgive others, not for them, but for myself. And so I had to get to the point where I could say, I forgive you, Dad, for what you did. But I'm never going to forget it. To me, incest is a life sentence. From the day it happens to the day you die, you will deal with it. But you have to learn how to not let it control you. And that's what's really hard, because we have things in our world that triggers it all the time. A television ad, a movie, somebody says a word, you smell a smell like Old Spice. I hate Old Spice because that's what my dad wore all the time. Mm. And so it's nothing wrong with the product, but it's the scent that triggers it. And so there are so many triggers in our life that it really upsets you inside. And so it takes you deep down within yourself. And when you get down there, it's very hard to fight your way back up. And so you have to learn to grab a hold of those triggers and say, no, I'm not going to let that take me down there. I've been down there, there's nothing down there, and it's too hard to fight back, so no, I'm going to look the other way. And I'm going to make better. I'm going to take yucky and turn into good. And that's what I did. And it's really hard. But
yeah, and the title of your book is it's that. The first part of that, especially, let yesterday go. So you're saying in your mind that's exactly what you have to do when you're triggered all over the place because of everything in the world around you and how easy it is for you to go to that dark place, right?
Right, it is. And once you get down there, because you build these walls to protect you, and so you go to counseling and you knock these walls down, and constantly you're trying to not let them go back up. And if you give up, then it'll consume you. And so I wanted a life. I knew that I had to have something better in life than a life like this. This was just absolutely horrible to live through. And I've been called, I'm disgusting because, you know, I didn't tell. Well, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you don't tell.
Mm-mm.
Because it wasn't something, it wasn't until like in the 80s when it says, if somebody touches you wrong, tell a teacher, tell somebody. Yeah. Well, I thought this happened in all families. It's just we're not supposed to talk about it.
Right.
And I didn't know the difference. And so people need to understand that you can't catch incest. So you can be friends with people who are an incest victim, but they're hurt. And so it takes a lot for them to trust you. And trust is so, so important, because if you don't trust somebody, you're not going to open up to them. But yet, when an incest victim opens up to a friend, the friend sometimes doesn't want to be friends with them because this person has really got a lot of problems and they don't know how to help them. And being in the ministry, there's a lot of preachers that I talk to that didn't have a clue on how to deal with incest. They didn't know how to help me. I had nowhere to go because they weren't trained. And so, therefore, it makes it really difficult, because who do you turn to? So when you find somebody that's a friend, you share it with them, you want to hold on to them, but sometimes you end up suffocating them with all your problems. And so that makes them want to pull away from you.
Wow.
And then that makes you feel rejection again.
Yeah.
And then it makes it hard, too, because people would judge you when they find out why you did and what you went through, and so they don't want to be your friend.
Exactly. Wow, this is a powerful, powerful book, and I hope so many people read this, and you could help so many people, and you have helped so many people. Lucinda Mills, what an honor, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Pick up the book. It's called Let Yesterday Go, Finding Grace in the Midst of the Storm. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
He's written a really fascinating book, but what I'm especially fascinated by is Don Pickett is a fourth-generation sheep rancher from the small town of Oakley, Idaho, and I've actually been through there, and he has such an interesting story to tell, and one that I really believe hits the nail on the head. The book is called Lessons of Nature from a Modern-Day Shepherd, and it is incredibly inspirational. Don, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
So first of all, let's talk about you being a fourth-gen sheep rancher. What's that like? That has to be kind of a lonely occupation.
Not really. My family settled the Oakley Valley as far back as 1882, And so I have grown up with traditions and with stories and with a work environment that allows me to be anything but bored out here in nature, working with my hired men, my herdsmen, who come from many different countries in the world.
Yeah, so I love that. So when you say they come from many different countries in the world, they have this expertise, right, that you want, or do you help them with that?
They come here with an expertise under the federal government's H-2A work visa program. So they come trained. They know what is required of them. They're experienced herdsmen, and they're used to being alone in nature.
So let's talk about the book. You take that, and you've obviously learned from that. You did a mission. You did a two-year mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in South Africa. That had to be fascinating. You must have learned a lot there. And you wrap so much of that into the book. Tell us what made you decide to write the book.
Having worked with these young men for about 35 years, I really felt that they have a story to tell, an educational experience, which is not taught in the universities of the world. Nature is their schoolmaster, not a professor. And they have lessons that I think the people generally who live in the artificial man-made world don't experience, and we've lost sight of that. And I really felt a compelling need to draw that to the attention of people who are interested in this subject.
Yeah, and so as you say, you have a compelling need to put that together. Did it just sort of pour out of you when you sat down to actually put it together?
Yes and no. Some of these experiences have festered in my mind for some time now. But when I finally sat down to write this book, things did kind of come together.
And when, as you say, you know, you talk about being there and having a herder and all those years of experience and what you've learned from that, there's something about nature, but you and I both know this. I think with the world that we live in now, whether you live in a big city, a rural area, et cetera, it's so fast-paced, Don, that nature kind of gets pushed aside, and there is something to nature that kind of makes you one with yourself, with God, et cetera. Do you feel that?
Absolutely, I do. I think we fail to recognize that God's creations are based on law and order, not chaos and confusion that we find so much in our man-made world. Nothing is arbitrary or left to chance, and we are part of that creation, and we too are most happy if we're living the laws that our Creator expects us to keep.
And in doing that, what are some of the pitfalls do you think people fall into?
We get short-sighted. We get in a hurry. We take shortcuts in life. We think sometimes that the laws that are universal laws of nature don't apply to us, that we can get away with something that nature quite honestly does not allow us to get away with, because as nature teaches us, every seed brings forth fruit of its own kind.
Yeah. And you certainly, besides being this, you know, fourth gen sheep herder, as we've talked about and what that's like, you have a family. You've raised children, certainly. You live in a beautiful part of the country, Idaho, and you also served as an attorney. I was reading something about something that you did with the Idaho Department of Agriculture. You were the chair of the Idaho Sheep and Goat Health Board. That had to be interesting.
It was, and I also at the same time chaired the Idaho's Animal Damage Control Board. And so I've had a taste of politics, but quite honestly, I'm most comfortable when I can come home. I live in an elevation 4,500 feet above sea level, and right outside my window is a 10,000-foot high mountain, and I leave 8 months out of the year to travel to these mountains to rub shoulders with my herdsmen. And that's where I really find the most satisfaction in life.
Yeah. Wow. Such a fascinating story. And I want to tell everybody again, you can pick up the book, of course, Amazon. And the name of the book is Lessons of Nature from a Modern Day Shepherd. Very, very inspirational. I mean, obviously on your travels, you've seen some incredible areas. Do you have a favorite place that you could share with us?
Yes, probably one of the seven wonders of the world, Victoria Falls, which is at the top of the country of Zimbabwe. That is fascinating. If anyone ever has a chance to go to that part of the world, that's a place that should never be missed.
Boy, no kidding. And you talk about, you know, the different people that you've brought in to your business that have you've had that experience. And obviously you've been doing that for a while. And what's that like to see, you know, these herders come, somebody come, work for you, and then go back to where they're from? What's that like?
These men usually are in their 20s when they come here. They come here on three-year contracts. The rate of exchange in countries like Peru, Chile, Bolivia, areas like that are they're great for a person to come work here, send some money home, and support their family in a way that they'd never be able to in their own country. But there's a common thread among these men, whether they're from South America, from Greece, Scotland, from Spain, and that is just a great appreciation for the environment in which they work. They develop a profound respect and a stewardship of allegiance for nature's resources. And it's that type of humble appreciation that I think enables them to draw upon these great lessons which our Creator has for those who want to study His creations.
Yeah, wow. Has to be interesting. You've definitely had to have met some really fascinating young men. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, for starters, I think that I would be disappointed if any person who read my book didn't find the quality of their life elevated in some way. Nature has two great laws that I think are at the basis of the lessons of our Creator, and that is, first, the law of obedience. That's how things were brought into order in the first place. The second law being that everything in nature has a purpose, including our own existence on this earth. I hope that a person who reads this book will in some way find a better appreciation for how he or she can fill the measure of his or her creation.
Mm. Wow, that's a beautiful thought. And I can just picture in my mind, because you've really painted a great picture of what it's like to be where you are and what your view is every day. And really, I tell everyone, pick up this book, Lessons of Nature from a Modern Day Shepherd. Very, very inspirational. And you leave us with some things to think about, that's for sure. Don Pickett, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks again for having me.
Thank you. It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.